Morning, Alex.
Are we the only two on?
At the moment, yes.
Here comes Ramsey.
Yep. I expect it'll be a slightly smaller meeting this week because everyone in China is still off on Spring Festival. And in the U.S., a lot of places are having the Midwinter Festival. So we'll see what we get.
The big winter festival, otherwise known as the President's Day weekend school vacation.
Oh, yeah. Well, here it's a whole week.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll give everybody a couple of minutes to join.
Hey, I copied you on an email that I sent out earlier regarding Etsy and ONAP.
Okay. I will take a look after the call.
Yep.
Hi, Chris. This is Parviz.
Hi, Parviz. Welcome.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll give everybody a few minutes. We're not quite a quorum yet. And then we'll get started.
Maybe we should just cancel the call.
Well, there's some feedback that we need to provide to the TSC based on the existing architecture. And a lot of the PTLs have provided it, so we need to review it today.
Okay.
But we'll keep it a little bit short, and we won't go into the architecture reviews for the projects until next week when people are back.
Okay.
Okay, well, why don't we get started? We don't have everybody, but as I said, I'm expecting a smaller than average call this week. We did take the Beijing architecture to the TSC, and we have a handful of comments that came back from the TSC that they'd like addressed. Since then, that happened the end of last week, I reached out to the PTLs, and quite a number have responded with updates to the deck that I want to run through today. I'm going to start off with Parviz, who has the updates for SDNC and external API.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yes, I had two PTLs, one for the external API, Andy Myers, and then Dan Timoney for SDNC. So both of them, they provided the input. So let me present that. Okay, so I updated the this package that I sent you last time, Chris, with those two set of the slides from the PTLs, yeah?
Uh-huh.
You guys, you have already seen this, except the last two. So we go all the way to VNFC, and now we have the portal logging, multi-cloud. Okay, so this is the SDNC slide, yeah? I talked to Dan, and he said that he looked at the Tiger team of contributions and discussions and his project plan. So he looked at this proposal. We have been talking about this internal structure of the SDNC on the right. Do you see my screen, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. So he looked at this and said, If you take a specific subset of the interfaces that are shown on this picture, there are two sets of interface for the controller, for the SDNC. There are internal subsets and the external subset. The internal subset of the interfaces are labeled as TI, and the external set of interfaces are labeled as CE, for controller external and controller internal. And then the set of functions performed by SDNC are already listed on the left, the bullet items, okay? So from the very top on the functions for the SDNC, you see that the configuration and the health maintenance for layer one to layer three for ENFs and PNFs, the programmable network application management platform, the managing the health of network services for VNF, PNFs. These are all in the scope for Beijing. Local source of truth, which essentially means that managing the inventory within the scope, all state management and lifecycle, plus the configuration audits, and the key attributes of controllers, which is the intimate knowledge of the network protocols, managing the SDNC and services, and then the service and network domain scope for instance of the controllers. So when we talk about the controllers, there is this SDNC, which is the global controller in the middle, the bigger box. And then we have on the lower right, the external third-party controllers, which all know about. This already existed in even in release one, okay? And then there is the interface is labeled as CE6, as you can see on the right lower corner of this picture, okay, CE6. So there are many variations of the how to implement that. On the next slide, Dan already identified the set of interfaces that are currently planned and will be supported in Beijing, okay? On the upper right, you have the ANAI interaction with the SDNC, which is labeled as CE4. The policy is CE3, as you can see, orchestration. That orchestration, like today, with SDNC interaction is through something called the generic resource API. The label is CE2, as you can see in the middle, the orchestration, which is the SO and SDNC interaction. That CE2, today in implementation, the PTL, there is a label called the generic resource API. Of course, there are two of them. One is called the VNF API interface, and then the second one is a generic resource API. The first one, which is the VNF API interface, Dan is planning to just deprecate that because the generic resource API is more flexible, okay? But in general, that label CE2 represents collectively the set of interfaces that are implemented for release two, the Beijing release, based on this internal structure. And then for STC, interaction with STC, that is a CE1. The repository, as you can see, there are sub-functions within the repository. For example, the interaction with policy engine, the a southbound device interaction through this Yang models. These are nothing new. Configuration templates for configuration management, and of course the set of artifacts when you do the use the Yang tools that creates two sets of databases, and those are like the configuration management and also the operational management. Both of them are captured here. And there is also more that are planning to implement beyond release two. But in the next slide, clearly Dan identified the set of the or subset of those interfaces that are in scope for release two for Beijing. Okay. the definition of service here, as you can see, is limited, and that is within the scope of the SDNC. The service is not really, it's not the end-to-end service, as you can see in the, it's already identified with an asterisk, with a star there, okay? That's a clarification. The adapters are nothing new there. The NetConf Yank adapter, again, the OpenFlow, these are the normal adapter that is already available in the ODL implementation, which is basically inherited by SDNC. The interaction with multi-cloud, that is within the scope with the multi-cloud and SDNC, that has been already agreed to, according to what Dan said, the CE5. The green dash box, which is a kind of loop, that would highlight and signify the interaction to the PubSub environment through either MSP or DMAP. So the actual label for that is for Beijing release is DMAP, but in general it's called a data movement. But if we move to the next page, it gives you the scope for Beijing here. On the right, there is a column is called the Beijing release. In the middle, it gives you the interface definition. And on the left, it's the same picture you saw in the previous slide. So I asked actually the Tiger team, John, like a few weeks back, to give like a clear definition of each interface for that internal SDNC architecture. The CE1, for example, is responsible for distribution of artifacts from the SDC. And then according to the PTL, Dan and the team, that is already in scope for Beijing, okay? And that is only for Tosca. And then the service request from the SO, that is already in the scope of CE2, the interaction. This is so-called, as I said, the generic users API. And then you go all the way down to CI7, which is the last one on this table. The service control processing updates and logical assigned resources. And this is for storage and inventory. The CI7, that is, all of these interfaces are in scope for Beijing, okay? So I guess this is self-explanatory, and if there is any question, I'll be happy. But we already discussed the detail in the Tiger team. I was waiting to get the blessing from the PTL, and Dan and the team, they already identified that all the interfaces that are in scope for Beijing. Except for CE5, the configuration request for cloud infrastructure, that is not in scope. But for the sake of generality, we didn't want to remove that. But it clearly says that the rest of all this interface is in scope for Beijing. Okay, Chris, can I move on to the next project?
Just a sec. One question, Parviz. All the labeled interfaces that you have, CE 1 through 6 and CI 1 through 7, do those correspond with the labels in the API documentation?
Yeah, sure.
So when we look at the SDNC API docs, they're going to call out the interfaces as CE 1 through 6.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, great.
That is, yeah, I already checked and confirmed with Dan. And they are going to use these labels in their Beijing documentation.
Great.
Okay. For example, I'll give you an example. Like CE2, in today's implementation, the SO and the SDNC interaction, the name for that in the release one was the generic resource API. Mm-hmm. And there was also an older version of that, which is kind of hard-coded. It's not that flexible. It's called VNF API. So VNF API is going to be deprecated, and the generic resource API is going to be used instead. But the label for Beijing is now called CE-2, as an example, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Sure. The next project is for the external API. This is led by Andy Meyer, and Andy graciously sent me the information. It's very detailed. So the external API is the definition we all know. There is an external API project that has been worked in progress for, I don't know, this has been like for quite a few months, yeah? Maybe even started last year, mid last year. So what Andy is saying that the APIs that are identified to handle the service catalog, the service instantiation, and the service inventory interaction with the ANAI, with SO and SDC, those are specifically in scope for the Beijing release. And he has actually listed the detail of those interfaces and what he has already done in his team. First of all, this is the definition of the list of the interfaces. So there is nothing new here. If we move on to the next page, so the list of consumed interfaces with the SDNC, with SO and ANAI is a part of the deliverables. And then the consumed model, the service descriptor, the Tasca YAML service descriptor is in scope. Then we move on to a detail of those service catalog or API. There is a definition according to the template that the provided service, as you can see, is the external view, it's not the internal. And we should keep in mind that the external API is, it has to do with the external entities or external systems that they basically make a good use of the ONAP services, or ONAP is allowed to make use of the services offered by a partner network who is not really even operating ONAP. So that is the anticipation from an external network or a provider network versus the service provider network and their partner. How they can really exchange information between the two networks through the external API. So certain services could be offered or shared. So this is, for example, for supplementary information, the service models are Tasca representation of services that may be requested. The external API has the service query catalog and also the service model. If you receive those models, that could be used by the partner network, or it could be used by ONA as is requested from the partner network. Okay? So, so far, this is at this level of detail that Andy has identified for Beijing. The next one for service ordering, this is more detailed. The capability that is provided, as you can see in the lower part of this page, it can allow to service placement. A service can be ordered. The query for the service order all the way to receive service order notification. Retrieve the service order state and so on. So, okay, you can delete, you can retrieve, you can query. These capabilities are already in scope for the external API for the Beijing release, okay? And then finally, the service inventory is also a part of the deliverable for Beijing. Again, the inventory could be a query service inventory, retrieve service, and retrieve service state. So these are like four or five slides that I received from Andy, and he said that the content for the external API based on this insertion here to the package is in the scope for Beijing. Okay? Chris, these are the additional components that I added to the package.
Thanks, Parviz.
The rest is left. Okay.
Thanks. Yeah. So any questions or comments for Parviz?
They did a great job presenting it. Thank you, Parviz.
Hey, Andy, yeah, okay.
Great. Thanks. So let's move right along. The next one is music. Bharath, can you share your screen?
Hi, Chris. Sorry.
No problem.
So you just want me to show that one slide, right?
Yes, please.
Yes, just 1 minute. Sorry, it's a bit. Yes. Can everyone see it?
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, sorry, it's a bit embarrassing, but this is all, I don't know what else I could potentially add. So if there are suggestions.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward. It's a new project. You're offering one API for projects that are looking to use the service.
Yeah, so that's what I've kind of written. I mean, I saw other common services like DMAP and what they had written, mm-hmm. and this seemed aligned to that, you know?
Yeah. Any questions for Bharath?
So this is an API to store it. Can I also retrieve the state of all of the instances via this API?
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, let me just modify it to say that to, you know, probably. Okay.
So, Bharath, can you also add the distributed KV store since there is a scope in the music now?
Oh, I see. So should I add that as a separate project or should I just add that as an additional API provided?
I think it's, since it's part of the music project, so there is no additional slide required, but you can just mention in the definition as well as in the interfaces.
Okay, so do you suggest that I make one more of, I just say number one music API, number two distributed KV store API? Okay, so let me do this. I'll update it and send it to you and the rest, Shreya.
Okay, thank you.
And other question, clarification question. So will this we need to be invoked only if you desire multi-site redundancy?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm kind of hesitating to say that because just because it's a multi-site solution doesn't mean it doesn't work for a single site. For example, ONAP ONAP portal will be using it as part of the Beijing release, despite the fact that there is no real notion of multi-site redundancy right now. But it is mainly meant for multi-site redundancy, though it will work within a site.
Maybe in that case, would it be worth clarifying the definition a little more?
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I'll take care of that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other feedback on this?
So I had one question regarding how other projects should be viewing music and using it as. So is it envisioned that music is going to be a platform-wide service that will be shared across multiple projects that use music for persistence, or is it going to be that each project has its own instance of music that it should instantiate and have it on their own kind of thing?
So Shankar, I spoke to, I'm not sure if Roger is here. Just 1 second, I'll just check.
I am, Roger's here.
Hi, Roger. Okay. So Vishwa and Roger had a conversation and they shared that with me as well. And Roger, just please correct me if I'm wrong. But there is, OOM has this big deployment descriptor in which you can pick and choose which projects need to be part of the deployment descriptor. And once music gets its act together in terms of containerization, and then we will be part of the deployment descriptor, will be installed with every other service. Is that a fair representation, Roger?
Yeah, so we're using Helm charts, and what we can do is create music as a separate set of charts And if a project wants to use that, they just have to put a requirement into the kind of general definition of music. And if we've done our jobs right, then it should be instantiated as part of that project. So it'll be kind of a common service that one can use, just like we're trying to do the same thing with the databases themselves. So they could be common and reused across all of the projects.
Is there somewhere where more information on that can be found? Because we've been assuming in SDNC for the work we'll be using for this that it's going to be installed and available to us. If there's a little bit more we need to do, then we kind of need to understand what that is.
Right. So we do need to document this further, but effectively when the charts are created for each of the projects, like in SDNC, if you wanted to use music, then the chart that describes SDNC has to include the music components.
So, but here is one question, Roger, regarding that. So let me just come to even more fine grain level, right? So if music needs, say, 3 containers for it to run, and if SDNC and ONAP has are both using it, will these 3 containers be shared across both these projects, which would be the desired use of it? Or will there be 3 containers of music running for SDNC and 3 containers of music running for HAS?
That's really, either can work. So it's really up to the project to decide how they would like to deploy it as replicates in each of the projects, or as a centralized service where you have some sort of music as a service kind of functionality. But it's really up to you to define how that would work. Obviously, if you are having it as a centralized service, then you need to work out and make sure that you handle that, right? So it's a more complicated deployment scenario, but either one can work.
So if I do want to use it as a centralized service, is there a different way I'll have to interact with OOM?
No, it'd be essentially the same in each case. The charts are hierarchical, so if you have a chart for music and you apply it at the top level ONAP, you would get a common service effectively. If you want it to be part of SDNC, then it would be under SDNC, but it would potentially be the same charts.
Okay, that makes
sense. Right. So I think we want to start with the central one, and if there's some reason that doesn't work, then we could look at an SDNC specific one. But it's a lot of overhead for how we're using it, so I don't think we necessarily
want to run around. And I'm aligned with that too. So even I think it'll be like, default option would be to use it as a centralized service. And if for some reason, in fact, there shouldn't be any reason. If there is some reason why it's not working, then it's music's responsibility to make sure that is fixed. So yeah, I think this makes clear. Shankar, is this clear enough now?
So the one other consideration here is how would integration testing work if we make it a centralized service? It needs to be coordinated during the deployment, like Roger was mentioning, and also during the testing, right? There has to be some mechanism that ensures there are no conflicts in terms of, for example, the Cassandra key spaces and things of that kind when you offer it as a centralized service.
At least to me, it looks more of an end-to-end test plan problem. We need to work out, hey, here is an end-to-end use case and how the test plan is going to be, right? How music comes and plays into it. It's just a matter of putting things together.
And I'm assuming that the other centralized services should have similar challenges, right? Like MSB or DMAP, you know, managing key spaces across.
Right.
So I think, Shankar, the advantage of music being a centralized service is that managing these integration test plans is no longer the problem of, say, ONAP, HAS, or SDNC, right? It is music's problem to ensure that.
No, fair enough. And I completely, I'm okay with having music as a centralized service, which is actually more convenient. It's just, yeah. I was trying to understand how, the end-to-end testing would work, like Ramki was mentioning. Long as we have a plan for that, I think I'm fine with this.
Yeah, I think it's something that we need to figure out with OOM and others. So, yeah, We'll
So OM kind of does this already with console. So we distribute console as an end-to-end service, and it's distributed key store, for example, and it's available as part of the recipe for ONAP, if you will, and it's there. But it doesn't magically solve any particular issues about data distribution or namespaces or anything like that, right? It's really up to the music team to decide how they're going to handle those kind of issues.
Yes, I would agree with that. That looks like it's a music responsibility. When music as a service is brought up, it needs to ensure that, you know, there are no overlapping key spaces, whatever that would even mean. So I think that that's definitely seems like a fully music's responsibility, right? Yeah, thanks for bringing this up, Shankar. It's something that we wanted to discuss anyways.
Great, thank you. Other feedback before we close on music? Okay, Bharath, will you please send me an update when you're finished with it? And I'll include that in the deck.
I'll take care of it within the next 1 hour.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Let's see, next, AAF, do we have Ram on the call, or Srini or someone else from the team?
Yeah, I am here. This is Srini here. So I did not update the slide, because I only have PDF document, mm-hmm. but I did send the comments to ensure that, hardware security for keys and the secret management is indeed part of AAF. So there was some confusion on the project scope, even though it was discussed early on. So now it seems to be okay to add those additional comments or additional functionality into AAF slides. So Chris, if you could send me the PPT file, then I would update those comments which we have been discussing in the email into that slide deck.
Will do. I see that you did get to consensus on that yesterday, so I will send you the latest, yeah. And you can make your updates on that. Just highlight which ones you've changed so that I can keep everything sorted out when it comes back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Great. DCAE, is anyone on from DCAE team? Lu Sheng? Okay, I have the slide, so I'll just put it up. Hold on a sec. Appears I'm having trouble with screen sharing. Let me try this again.
Yeah, if you send it to me, I can show it.
Yeah, it's trying. It just hasn't been able to come up yet. Looks like it's trying to. Let me try stop one more time. The updates to DCAE, we're just cleaning up the interface descriptions all the way on the left. Let's see if this works.
I'm afraid it is a PowerPoint issue, Chris, versus Zoom. I see PowerPoint not responding on the top.
Okay, well, unfortunate. There were a few minor changes. I'll share it with the team when I can get this to respond properly.
Your email is working, Chris?
Should be.
If your email is working, just send that to me.
Okay.
I'll show it if you want.
Okay, great. Let me try that. While I'm doing that, is Szechuan? Otherwise, I'll send you his slide as well. No. Okay. One second, Parviz.
Sure.
Now it seems to be an issue with Office. Let's see.
Your Outlook is
not running. Everything's hanging for whatever reason. Why don't we keep going? Let's see. Let me see if I can get Szechu's to work, which is in a different file.
Or I can get it from contribution page if you have it on the server.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
Yeah, this is. It looks like it wants to work, but it's giving me a little trouble. I apologize, everybody, for the delay. While I'm fighting with this, why don't we move on? Let's see. Parviz, can you bring up the main diagram, please?
Okay.
The Beijing diagram that's, I believe, slide 3.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. Let me get the control from did you release the control?
It should be released. Looks like it is on my end anyways. There you go.
Okay, so yeah, we go back to the main Beijing diagram.
Yes, that's the one. Let's see. One of the questions that came up was, all the way at the top, the Beijing diagram slide.
Yeah,
3,
that's what the end.
At the beginning.
Yeah. The beginning. This one.
Yes.
Okay. Let me put it on the presentation mode. Can you see it now?
Yes, I can see it.
Okay.
So there was a comment about the note 1 on VSC that says it's Etsy aligned. We've talked about this a number of times in Amsterdam. I know that the change from Amsterdam to Beijing was to take Etsy aligned out of that box and just put in the note. We have not been able to hear back from the project team since they are on Spring Festival holiday. Is there you know, I know we've talked about this, and I know that they've said in the past that they're trying to build this to the IFA standards. And Parviz, I know you talked about this in the Tiger team as well. Sure. Is there anything new that has come up that makes the note one about Etsy alignment not accurate?
Well, as I recall, the discussion that we had from release one to release two, there are some updates based on the affected projects, SO and VFT, and maybe more. And they, my recollection is that the Etsy align is still valid. I can have other people to also talk into this. That should be okay.
What is meant by alignment?
Okay, Chris, you have the history that even the TSC vote on this, yeah?
Well, yes. So this is what we talked about in the Amsterdam timeframe, and it was carried forward from that point. What this means is that the VFC component is trying to align itself with the Etsy architecture, and that it is using some of the IFA specs in its interfaces.
And do we have specific version numbers of the IFA specs that it's using on the interfaces?
We do. Unfortunately, Maopeng isn't on the call today to fill us in on exactly which one they're using.
Well, so we know Etsy's meeting next week as well, and they're going to be updating at least IFA 11 and the Sol 001.
Yeah.
So let's tease that apart a little bit. So as far as I know, none of these specs have finished. So we need to be careful here. We can align with drafts, but saying that we have alignment with Etsy is kind of an overstatement, given that the specs are still being worked on.
It's more like it's draft right now. So a lot of these things are in draft status in Etsy, right? So what does alignment really mean at this point, other than that we're converging on Etsy?
And I think that's the reason we're using the word alignment instead of compliant, because there is no Etsy compliance at this point. But there is an architecture and there are some interfaces that the team has been trying to build into the component.
So,
but understanding as we go beyond Beijing that we're going to further align with things as it becomes standardized. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Does this not also mean that, you know, the rest is not Etsy aligned?
Yeah, so this is the part where we need to be very careful, right? Because ONAP has native APIs, and it has a native information model, it has a native, will have a native domain data model for different parts of the architecture. But we need to be careful, right? Because, you know, if there's specific interfaces and they're alternative to native interfaces, that might be okay. But, you know, there's a whole style guide and a whole bunch of other things that kind of gets brought in once you start talking about alignment. The actual interface contracts are very different from the ones that we have from a RESTful perspective or from the MSB perspective, right? There are other differences, and we need to understand what it really means from an architectural perspective going forward. It's not that simple to support it.
Okay. All right.
Saying we need to make sure we stipulate what it implies.
Okay, so let's get the project team, the VFC team, to weigh in on this. And if there's a better word that explains what they are doing with Etsy, I will ask them for clarification. Okay.
Okay.
I would actually almost say collaborating with Etsy probably is the most appropriate. clearly, from a cloud representation perspective, we're seeing gaps. In fact, I'm in touch with Diego Lopez, Etsy chair, to sort of see how to collaborate. I mean, that's exactly what we're doing.
But the point is that the collaboration model has to be established from the community to community, not point to point.
No. What I'm saying is collaborate in a sense, at least you start the dialogues, but finally, but what I'm saying is that minimally the aligned term is too strong. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, I would agree. I think at this point we're inspired by Etsy, but I think before we say that we're aligned or compliant, which to me mean exactly the same thing, actually.
Yeah, I agree with Alex. I think if we say Etsy and inspire it there, I think it would be a lot better than the statement of aligned.
Okay, I will take this.
Chris, let me ask something here. We did go through this quickly in the Tiger team, and then we relied on the content that was contributed by the PPL, by the project, okay? So if the project, VFC project and the PPL, if they have an issue with this statement note one, is that question raised by the project or by someone else?
Well, it's a broader thing because when you say Etsy, it's hitting a lot of things. There's information feeding into VFC, it's how VFC interacts with other things. So it's on interfaces that are shared in common. I don't know if we could even make an aligned statement when we're doing draft material. So I think if we say inspired, it's much more appropriate to what we're actually doing. Yep.
Okay.
So I think we need to at least it would be good, Chris, to at least kind of outline the components that are being made Etsy aligned or at least we're working on, right, from an Etsy perspective. For example, if we're going to take the VNFD model from a developer perspective, be Etsy aligned for the sake of interoperability, that's fine, right? But it doesn't imply that the core ONAP model is Etsy aligned, right? Or that certain interfaces automatically become what they are as specified in the Etsy community. Or maybe they are. I mean, but we need to be careful here and kind of look at all this.
Well, and VFC is going to need things that aren't defined in Etsy right now. It may not be defined in Etsy until we go to Casablanca and have other ways of doing things.
Yeah. So I will take that feedback back to the project team. We do have the documentation later in this deck from VFC about the some of the interfaces.
Yeah.
But I'll get their input as they come back from their vacation.
And one other thing you should know, I sent you an email earlier today that has a contribution that was written by Nokia, and I think AT&T is going to co-sign it. I think Intel is probably going to co-sign it, requesting certain changes on the iPhone side and on the Seoul side. The question is whether or not we do this as individual companies or if we're authorized to speak on behalf of ONAP. And, there are all sorts of legalities, I think, that we need to clear before we do anything. But the point really is that there's some changes need to be made if we're going to bring, Etsy compliance into the bear on ONAP.
But can I ask, maybe I'm missing the big picture. Amongst all the terminology. So there's in the target slides, we're saying that we want to merge the application controller and the VFC into one thing called a generic network function controller.
Yes.
So what does it imply to have a note on one of those boxes that says it's the,
well,
is
so
the idea here?
That's why I'm asking the question, Gil.
This goes back, there's history in it going back to the Amsterdam diagram where AppC said layer 4 through layer 7 and VFC said Etsy aligned instead of having it in the VFC box, that was pulled out to a note highlighting that VFC was essentially looking at the Etsy specs as they were doing their interfaces. So,
Chris, I have raised a question on the vote. I think that right. the first the VFC it's only functionally aligned with etc, but also there is other technical module in the architecture are also aligned with etc in terms of functional level. It means service orchestrator, the Veeam, the SDNC. Then the ONAP architecture is partially aligned at the functional level with etc, and VFC also it's functionally aligned.
Okay, well. I will bring this back to ask for a clarification from that team, and we'll go from there. So I'll take note of I will take note of your comments and get a response as soon as we can. Parviz, can you drop the sharing and I'll see if I can get this to work again?
Sure. Okay.
Thanks.
Done.
Let's see if it's going to work this time. Okay, here's the DCAE one. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's working now. The changes to this slide are all on the left side, all with the little interface diagram. And it just clarified what were the provided and consumed interfaces. And so now this matches the text that was in there before.
Yeah.
Any comments on that?
Is the idea here that eventually we're going to end up with some sort of a model that goes along with these interfaces so we can actually ensure that things are indeed model driven and don't overlap?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the issue. We need to get the models published and then start aligning this.
Yes.
But for starters, what we want to do is at least document what exists today.
Right. And we talked about updating M3 checklist to include kind of mapping API information to the information model to kind of start helping ensure that we have consistent semantics, you know, across all the APIs in the platform. So that's something that we as the modeling committee needs to recommend, and maybe even before M3, M2 as well.
Just
starting to get the more alignment on the common information, the shared information that's going across the APIs is very important as we move forward.
Yeah, we just passed the M2 milestone.
I would say.
Hold on one sec, Ramke. Just one note. I'll bring this up at the end of the call, but we are going to start that cycle of reviewing the interfaces and architectural changes with the projects over the next couple of weeks. You will see this between now and beginning of March.
So, Chris, do we want to update that checklist for the information model alignment this during Beijing for M3, or do you think we want to do that later? We can start introducing it as part of M3 if you want.
So, Gilda is on the line here. We have a challenge if we introduce changes too late to the project teams for them to pick it up and implement it.
Yeah, it's probably more Casablanca then. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What we could,
we don't want to interfere with momentum right now.
Yeah. What we can do, we have to do the architecture reviews with each project per the per our charter, I'm going to give each project about 15 minutes to present architecture changes interface changes. And at that time, we can ask the question about model alignment.
Right, and that's a way to give a good heads up and at least start the thinking, the thought process. That's good. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. Let me see if I can get the other one to come up.
A quick one, Chris, here. So the interface, data collection interface provided by DC collectors, consumed by VNFs, and multi-cloud, I think it's worth talking about, especially since you're talking FCAPs, the next line, be explicit about it.
Okay. I will bring that back to Lucien, who's responsible for this content. Lucien, are you on the call? Okay, I will take note of that. Let's see.
So what is the proposed changes, Ramki?
Just adding consumer VNFs, multi-cloud, and others. Just because the next line is specifically talking about FCAPs, right? So
yeah.
So bring multi-cloud context just to, you know.
So right now it's saying
you mean
to the rest of the ONAP system. So you're saying be explicit here.
Yep. And also in the provided interfaces, both.
Okay. I will ask Lucien for any comments on that. I have to change the share. There we go. Can you see the service orchestrator changes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Seshu did his in blue. Any concerns with the updates? Essentially, he was being more explicit with some of these descriptions. And I'll flip to slide 9 as well once everybody has a chance to look at this.
Hey, Chris, this is Roger.
Yes.
I was on a call with Seshu a few days ago, or I guess last week when in their weekly call, and they mentioned that there may be some significant architectural changes coming in SO. It's unclear what the impact of that is, but maybe not with respect to interfaces, but certainly about how it operates internally. And I know that some operators have already designed, you know, flows and are working on BPMN that operate inside of SO. I just wonder what is the process for, you know, changes within a specific project like SO?
Generally speaking, it's the responsibility of the project. From Amsterdam to Beijing, we did not implement a strict upgrade policy, and we gave the project teams flexibility as they needed to make updates to the projects with the stipulation that if there were any scope changes, that they had to bring that to the TSC. So it would have been highlighted in the release plans for the release that then were brought up to the TSC at the M1 timeframe.
My concern is just that, you know, as we move forward and operators are really using this production, ONAP in production, changes can ripple all over the place. So we need to be more cautious.
Decision from the TSC was that from Amsterdam to Beijing, we were going to be fairly loose about it because Amsterdam was really about getting the seed code on the table. We recognized that a number of projects needed to do some re-architecture based on that. The other part of the decision was from Beijing to Casablanca is going to be stricter, and there will be an upgrade policy. Yes.
A question. Why would anyone want to change the function of the SO from one operator to another? I mean, you should be changing the templates that are coming in to control how services are provisioned or deployed, but why would you actually want to mess around with the orchestrator itself? I mean, you can, but your mileage will vary, right? Because you continuously have to keep up with what the community is doing to SO. And it's kind of, I guess what I'm saying is, it may be worth looking at a formal approach to subsetting and substitution and immutability of certain components inside ONAP and figure out what is and what is not a good idea to change. or if there is a need to change something, if there's a way to decouple, you know, the changes from the implementation and do them in a more, I mean, almost do them outside as customizations of sorts.
Right, but so Alex, I'm talking about a very practical use case of operators adding BPMN flows to do custom functions within, you know, their world, right? They're interfacing to another system. So, you know, those BPMN flows could be obsoleted by changes in SO architecture.
But that's always going to happen, right? Because how do you control that?
In principle, why are you concerned with the architecture if you expose a stable API and an integration architecture in a model?
Well, if there's a pluggable way to add these custom workflows and you register them, they get executed through a normative interface, that would be better, right? As opposed to just plugging them in and expecting the code flow to stay the same forever.
Right, but that gets exposed through a behavior in a contract through an external API or an API.
Yes.
Right. So I think it's important to think about the discuss the possible changes to the architecture, but even more important is to ask for stable and predictable APIs in contracts in terms of behavior.
Yeah.
But it's not just APIs, right? Well, what happens if, for example, SO, I shouldn't take this to it because I don't want to imply anything about SO, but for example, if SO was to choose another orchestration technology that didn't support, you know, the code that was already developed, then what would happen to the operators who've spent hard-earned dollars creating custom flows?
Well, so again, I think what Adolfo is saying is that if you look at it from the interface perspective, you can keep backward compatibility, but again, it's done through an interface as opposed to direct modifications.
Where is the interface, right? If you're adding orchestration flows, which is the whole point of ONAP, those are inside of SO. It's not an external API.
Okay, Roger, one clarification.
It is an API for the consumer, right? So external depends who you define as external, right? But in this context, the consumers of the API are other services within ONAP. So, I mean, I think we can continue discussing this. There is an element of the deployment process and the infrastructure that needs to change. Totally agree. But that's not an architectural discussion, right? That is an implementation discussion in an environment discussion that we need to account for. And I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Hey, guys. My recommendation is take this to the SO project meeting and speak with Seshu about it. From a TSC perspective, I expect more stringency going into Casablanca. But we purposely... we're looser about going into Beijing. Okay. Anything else on this slide? Go ahead, Parviz.
So does this mean that the service scaling, is it really supported in Beijing or is it sort of in plan? You said looser definition of the APIs.
Looser changes. We've been looser with changes from the past. Service scaling is something that they called out that they're trying to implement in this release.
Okay.
That's right here.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the other slide that he provided, which was just clarification about where they're getting their interfaces and which components they're using with which interface. Questions or comments?
Just to make sure I understand, LCM is life cycle management, is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Talked about that. The next comment was Saul 004 there was a question. VNF SDK is in the process of implementing SOL004, and that is on Tosca-based VNFs. The Heat VNFs are essentially unchanged. The validation of heat-based VNFs is still done by the ICE tools, and while we're in the process of moving them around, the existing level of support is going to continue. However, with SOL004, we're attempting to add some security to the VNF packages, and this is something that has been discussed with the security team. Any questions on that or comments? Okay. The last one, do we have anyone from SDC on the call? SDC? Okay, I think that's the only one we're missing. I will follow back up with that team. Send the slide around when I receive it.
Hi, Chris.
Parviz, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the mention of ICE for heat-based VNFs, is that the VVF, is that the terminology you used last time? Did we have a comment on
VVP.
That?
There is a comment on SOL004 and Heat and Tosca VNFs. On the ICE tools, the issue is that the VVP project, Eric has proposed converting that into a subcommittee. And that's still being discussed within the TSC, but the tools exist and they will be supported going forward. We're just in the process of moving those into VNF SDK.
But there is no comment from TSC on VVF functional description missing, no?
VVP, as a functional description, the issue is that it may not be delivering as part of Beijing. That's something that we're deferring.
We're deferring
until the TSC makes a decision.
Chris, and also on that SOL004 and Tosca front, with respect to the previous comment about changing the workflows in the orchestrator, I think we need to understand what kind of workflows are being added and whether or not they can be modeled in Tosca, and then assume that if we're moving towards Tosca, then the orchestrator might become more and more pure Tosca over time. And if that's the case, then the workflows or the needs of the operators would need to be expressible as part of the workflows. Right, the Tosca workflows, and we need to be prepared for that. And so if there are changes to be made or specific use cases that we need to address, now would be the time to do it.
Alex, yeah, we'll get Seshu presenting on the architecture call within the next couple of weeks so we can get answers to those specific questions.
Okay.
Before M3, so coming up in what, about 3 weeks?
Great.
Okay. Let's see. So that's the list of comments that we've gone through. One final note, and this is what we've been raising, is just the announcement to the PTLs that before M3, we need to talk with each project. It's about a 15-minute presentation for existing projects who did this last time. Please just, I will be reaching out to you to schedule time in the next few weeks. Please prepare a short presentation. If you have Swagger APIs, please have the Swagger file available. You know, we'll have questions about data models and any architectural changes that you've made in your projects for the Beijing release time. We're going to try to make this painless and go through them at a rapid clip, but this helps to make sure that all the projects are aligning and that we don't come into the code freeze and find issues where we have misalignment between some of the APIs. So this is a midstream sanity check to make sure that we're on the right track and that all of the project handoffs from one to another are going to go smoothly. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, so that's what I have for agenda for today's call. Thank you everybody for your participation and for everybody who provided updates. Thank you for getting them in a timely fashion. I will get this deck finalized as soon as possible, send it around on the email list and also send it to the TSC so that we can close on all the open issues.
Chris, yes. one quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
You mentioned that for PTLs to present like a short presentation for their project, and if there is any architecture changes, we still have time between the last PTL presentation and the deadline that you need to capture those architecture updates. How much time we have, do you know?
So let's take this in two steps. First is getting the architecture approved. We want to do that as soon as possible. With the changes that came in, we're most of the way there. There are just a few outstanding issues and we'll get those closed shortly. If there are architectural changes that come in later, we can always re-release a dot release if something came up that wasn't essentially any changes from the beginning of the cycle. If we have to publish an update, we are using semantic versioning, so we do have a mechanism to do so.
So there is no hard deadline per se, yeah?
For updates. So I want to close on all the open issues that we discussed today, ideally this week. But I need feedback from two of the teams in order to do that. Ideally, we'll get that closed before Thursday. I'll make sure that everybody here sees it. If changes come in before M3, we will identify the soonest possible date for an update.
So you don't need any help with the SDC update, yeah? You're already in touch with the PTL, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. So, I'll close with them this week. That's the only NDFC who's still on vacation. So we'll close with those two items this week, and then we'll have the update out. And for those of you who made changes on the call, please just send me your slides. And I'll combine the deck. Okay. Anything final from the team? Great. Then I'll end the meeting a little early and give you back about 45 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.